We have all had a physical birth. So therefore, we can take a physical birth and we can make a correlation, and we can understand that the spiritual birth in many ways parallels a physical birth. So I want to give you six ways that being born again spiritually is like being born physically.
In today's fast-paced, self-focused world, it's difficult to find quality biblical teaching, much less teaching that simplifies profound truth so that it can be applied to your own life. For over 50 years, Adrian Rogers brought that kind of profound truth, simply stated, to each of his messages. Join us now for this study from God's Word. And if you're encouraged by today's message, remember you can stream this message again and download outlines, notes, a transcript, and other resources to go along with this message, all at lwf.org. Now, let's join Adrian Rogers.
I was in Argentina preaching, and I preached in a crusade in a city called Mendoza, and another, San Juan. And God poured out His blessings in a wonderful way, and we saw multitudes come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I preached on understanding the new birth. And as I was preaching there in South America, I said to myself, I need to preach this same message right in the United States and across the world where, and around the world where love worth finding ministers. So I want you to find the classic passage on the new birth and turn, if you will, please, to John chapter 3. And we're going to read together the first seven verses. But let me say, as we're talking about the new birth and born-again Christians, to say born-again Christian is really redundant. You don't have to put the description born-again in front of a Christian. If he is a Christian, he is born-again. Amen? Amen? To say born-again Christian would be like saying tooth dentist. Or it'd be like saying female woman. If you are a Christian, you're born again. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian, no matter what denomination you may be a member of. Now, let me read the scripture to you. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, now the word rabbi means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This is a divine imperative. Jesus says that you must be born again. Now, why must a person be born again? First of all, because of man's undeniable sinfulness. Now, you may not think you're a sinner, but I want to remind you to whom Jesus was speaking. The man's name was Nicodemus. His very name means superior. Also, he was a Jew. He was of the chosen race. Besides that, he was a ruler of the Jews. That is, he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was one of only 71 in all the nation of Israel. It would be like being a member of the Supreme Court. He was among the most religious of the religious. He was among the most moral of the moral. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I want to say to any religious person here today and any moral person here today, if you think you can go to heaven without being born again, you're grossly ignorant of two things. Number one, you don't know how sinful you are. Number two, you don't know how holy God is. Because of man's undeniable sinfulness, man must be born again. And also because of man's unsatisfied longings. There's something in you that will never be satisfied until you are born again. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. There was a void and emptiness in his heart. He had to talk to Jesus. He had been seeing Jesus do miracles. He wanted to know. There was something about Jesus that intrigued him. There was a hunger in his heart, a dissatisfaction. And so he came to Jesus by night. Now, theologians have raced their motors to try to figure out why Jesus, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Some say because he was ashamed to come in the daytime, or a fear of persecution. Now, I just believe that he came to Jesus by night because he couldn't sleep. And as one wise man said, rather than counting sheep, he just decided he would talk to the shepherd. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asked Jesus, "Lord, I want to understand miracles. Rabbi," he called him Rabbi, "master, teacher, no one can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him." And Jesus just turned the thing back to him and said, in effect, "Nicodemus, if you want to understand miracles, you're going to have to become a miracle. You must be born again." Man has a longing in his heart that will never be satisfied without the new birth. I want to say again, no matter how much money you have, how much pleasure you enjoy, how much fame is spread abroad concerning you, if you are not born again, there is a part of you that is missing and will never, ever, ever be satisfied apart from the new birth. I'll tell you another reason that you must be born again, because of your unending existence. Your soul will be in existence somewhere when the sun, the moon, and the stars have grown cold. You're going to live forever. After death, there is another life, either in heaven for those who've been born again, in hell for those who have not been born again. And if you've not been born twice, you'll die twice. The second death is the lake of fire. You say, "Pastor, don't talk to me about death. I am healthy." You are nearer death than you've ever been. Sure. One time you were in an automobile accident and you said, "I was very close to death." No, you weren't, because you didn't die. You're closer to death now than you've ever been. You are nearer to the time now at this moment when you're going to die than you've ever been since you've been on the face of this earth. You will die and you will exist somewhere, and without the new birth, you will exist forever in hell. Now, I'm so glad that Jesus, the master teacher, used this phrase, "born again." Why? Because a birth is something we've all experienced. Did anybody get here any other way except being born physically? Of course not. We have all had a physical birth. So therefore, we can take a physical birth and we can make a correlation, and we can understand that the spiritual birth in many ways parallels a physical birth. So I want to give you six ways that being born again spiritually is like being born physically. Our Lord wants us to understand. And so let's look at these six ways. Number one, in a birth, conception takes place. You cannot have a birth without a conception. Now, when you were born physically, you had two parents. You had a mother and a father. The mother supplied the egg, the father supplied the sperm. And when the egg and the sperm came together in your mother's womb, there was a conception and you began to be. Now, it takes two parents for birth. What are the two parents in the spiritual birth? The two parents in the spiritual birth are the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Look, if you will, in verse 5 of this chapter. Look at it. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Those are the two parents, water and the Spirit. Now, what does water stand for? Water stands for the Word of God. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, water is an emblem, a symbol of the Word of God. The Bible speaks of the washing of water by the Word. Now, we know it's the Word of God that is referred to here because of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Put that in the margin of your Bible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed — the word seed means sperm — not of corruptible sperm, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the father, as it were, in your spiritual birth is the Word of God. Now, what is the mother? The mother is the Spirit of God. You're born of water and of the Spirit. When the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together, then a conception takes place. That is the reason before I came out here to preach, I got on my knees and prayed for the anointing of the Spirit, because I want the Holy Spirit to be here today. That is the reason that when I preach, I use the Word of God, because it takes the Spirit of God and the Word of God for a conception. But there's another thing that is needed if you would be born again. There is the Word and there's the Spirit, but where's the womb? Where's the womb? The womb is the womb of faith. Faith. You supply the womb. That is faith. He's going to tell us in verse 16 in a moment that we must believe, that when we believe, we'll have everlasting life. And so, when the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together in the womb of faith, there is a conception and a new birth takes place. Secondly, not only in a new birth is there a conception, but number two, in a birth, a continuation is involved, or a continuity is involved. Parents don't manufacture babies. What parents do is just transmit life from themselves to the child. I have in me the life of my father, Arden Rogers, and the life of my mother, Rose Rogers. Now, Arden and Rose came together. I was conceived, and now I share their life. Their life continues in me. Now, when you are born again, the life of God comes into you. You are a part of the life of God. God comes in to you. God's life is put into you. You see, folks, salvation is not simply getting man out of earth into heaven. It is getting God out of heaven into man. It is the life of God that comes into you. The theme of the Gospel of John is life. Now, by your first birth, you have existence. By your second birth, you have supernatural life. In the Gospel of John, the word life is used some 36 times. And you know Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I've come that you might have life. And so understand this, that when you are born again, you are a partaker of God's life, a partaker of the divine nature. The life of God is in you. Now, I have the life of A.D. and Rose Rogers in me. If you were to meet my parents, they're both in heaven now, but you would understand me a whole lot more, because I'm a part of them. Now, I also, by my second birth, I have the life of God in me. God is in me by my second birth, because there has been a conception and now there is a continuity, this new life that is in me. Now, here's a third thing about a birth that I want you to understand. In a birth, character is produced. Character is produced. Look, if you will, in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, when you were born of the flesh, you became flesh, and you had the nature of your first parents. Now, don't think I'm disrespectful, but I want to say my first parents were sinners. Mother Rose Rogers, sweet as she was, infectious sense of humor, she was a sinner. And my father, honorable, decent man that he was a sinner. How did he become a sinner? Well, he received a nature from his father. And how did he become a sinner? Well, he had a nature from his father. And it goes all the way back to Adam, and the Bible says, in Adam all die. We're all sinners by nature. Say amen. Don't look so holy. The Bible says we are by nature the children of wrath. Now, we receive the character of our earthly parents by our earthly birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, we receive the character of God by our new birth. A character is involved. A character is produced. We become partakers of the divine nature. Let me give you a scripture. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. I have the nature of A.D. and Rose Rogers in me by my first birth, but I have the nature of Almighty God in me by my second birth. Now, you must understand this. Jesus said you have to be born again. You have to have a brand new start. Christians are not just nicer people. They're new creatures. They're new creatures. You are brand new. I've often used this illustration. A Christian is not like a tadpole who's finally developed into a frog, just a continuation of the same first birth. A Christian is more like a frog that has been transformed into a prince by the kiss of grace. It is a supernatural, wonderful thing. Now, a character is produced. Has there been a change in your character, or did you just simply join the church and get baptized? Listen to me carefully. If your religion has not changed your life, you better change your religion. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Now, what are the traits of the twice-born? What is the character? What are the characteristics? The nature. Remember that when you are born from above, and literally that's what the Greek says when it says born again, it literally says being born from above. When you are born from above, God's nature comes into you. Well, what is the nature of God? Do you want to know whether you're saved or not? Now, I know that I'm a Rogers. I can look at my parents and I can see their nature in me. I know that I've been born again because I can open the Bible and see God, and I can look in my heart and see the nature of God in me. What are the traits of the twice born? What is the character that is produced? What will be in you if you have really been born again? May I mention four of them? First of all, there will be a love for Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't love Jesus, you better put a big question mark after this thing you call salvation. There will be a love for Jesus Christ, not a mere intellectual belief, a love for Jesus Christ. What did God the Father say of His Son? This is my beloved Son. Does God the Father love His Son? You better believe it. Is God's nature in you if you've been born again? It is. Then as night follows day, you will love what God loves, and He loves His Son. And if you do not have a genuine love for Jesus Christ, you ought to ask yourself, do I have the nature of God in me? No, there will be a love for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else that'll be in your heart if you've been twice born. Another trait of the twice born. There will be a desire for holiness. God the Father says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And He says, I am a father unto you. That is, if you're my child, like father, like son, you are going to be holy. You're going to desire for true holiness. Now, that doesn't mean that you can never sin because you're not God. You still have that old nature, the nature you got from your parents, like I have a nature from my parents that I passed on to my children. But let me give you a key verse here. 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, notice he's talking about the birth now, doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. What is his seed? His nature, the sperm of God that came into you through the Word of God. You do not commit sin. Doesn't mean you can never ever sin. But the Greek word here means that you cannot habitually practice sin. If sin is your lifestyle, if there's not been a change in your life, if you've not learned to hate sin as well as love the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you say that you've been born again? How can you say that you have the nature of God in you? Are you a partaker of the divine nature? Well, what is the nature of God? God is holy. God is holy. I'll tell you a third mark of a person who's been born again. Not only does he love the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does he have a hatred and antipathy toward sin, but thirdly, he has the inner witness of the Spirit. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. The Bible says that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Why do I say he has the witness of the Spirit? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God is spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes into you. The life of God is there. Now, what is the witness of the Spirit in you? It is not an emotional feeling. I'm not opposed to emotions. I enjoy emotions. Very frankly, I'm not really a very emotional person. I don't get real high. I don't get real low. I stay in a narrow band. That is not supernatural. That's just natural. That's the way I am. I stay here. I don't go up and down. Some of you are all over the lot. I just kind of stay right in here. That doesn't make me any better. It doesn't make me any worse. Some people are just more emotional by nature. One man said, bless God, I know I'm saved because when I got saved, I was out plowing corn. I got so happy I tore up a half an acre of corn. Well, that's all right. It's kind of hard on the corn, but that's all right. That doesn't make you any more saved than a little 12-year-old child would come down this aisle this morning, sweetly and quietly give his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of emotions. I've told you before that your emotions are the shallowest part of your nature. Salvation is the deepest work of God. God doesn't do his deepest work in the shallowest part. Now, I'm not opposed to emotions. But if you depend upon emotion for the assurance of your salvation is going to go up and down with the condition of your liver. What I'm trying to say is this. Listen to me now. There is the witness of the Spirit. What is the witness of the Spirit? It is very hard to explain, but easy to experience. It is that inner consciousness that you belong to Jesus. You know. You know because you know that you know. It is God's Spirit saying to you, I am in you, I live in you. Hereby do we know that we know him because he has given to us of his Spirit. Now, I want to mention a next trait of the twice born and see if this is in you. There will be a desire to share the Lord Jesus Christ. You will want people to know Jesus. What is the burning desire of God the Father? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. God wants you to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants the whole world to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a desire in your heart to share Jesus Christ? I can tell you from the moment I gave my heart to Christ as a teen to this very moment, there has been a burning desire in my heart to share Jesus Christ with other people. Amen. Now, if you have been saved, if you've been born again, a character is produced. A character is produced. That character is the divine nature. God himself will be in you. And if you don't have these characteristics, why do you say that the nature of God is in you? Number four, here's another reason that Jesus used a birth. In a birth, a completion transpires. Now, what do I mean by that? A birth is a once-for-all experience. In the natural realm, you're born one time. In the spiritual realm, the second birth, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. No baby is ever born twice physically. That's the reason Nicodemus asked Jesus this question. He said, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's impossible. There are no reverse gears in life. You can't go back in your mother's womb and be born again, be born the second time. Now, in the physical realm, the birth takes place one time. In the spiritual realm, the birth takes place one time. Friend, when you are born physically, you're born forever. I was born physically. The Adrian that's standing on this platform can never, ever, ever, ever cease to exist. My spirit will be somewhere, either in heaven or hell. Friend, I'm going to heaven. I've already made reservations. I am going to heaven. But that which was born in West Palm Beach, Florida, will go on and on and on and on. Now, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The spiritual birth is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You know, there's some people who think you can get saved and then lost and then saved and then lost and then saved and lost. Can you imagine what a difficulty the recording angel would have writing your name in, erasing it, writing it in, erasing it? No, Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. And the Greek word there, your name stands written in the book of life. Now, that's the reason I believe in the eternal security of the believer. I am a Rogers. I am a Rogers because of birth. I can never be unborn. I may have disappointed my parents. I'm sure I did. There's a difference, however, between relationship and fellowship. Relationship is established by birth. Fellowship is maintained by life. There were times when fellowship between me and my father was broken. My father had to chastise me, but there was no way that he could take back the fact that he had fathered me. I'm his. For all eternity, I am a Rogers. When you get born again, you become a partaker of the divine nature. He will never, ever, ever forsake you. You will always be a child of God if you've ever been twice born. I'm not just talking about being religious, being baptized, being a nice person. If you don't believe that, you show me anywhere in the Bible where anybody was saved twice. You can't find that in the Bible. Friend, a birth is a once-in-a-lifetime experience in either realm, in the physical realm or in the spiritual realm. A person can only be born spiritually one time. It is a completion, and we need to understand this. Now, in the next thing, number five, in a birth, a commencement occurs. While there is a completion, the birth is finished, but now the growth begins. A commencement occurs. A birth is a starting place. And so no matter what your past has been by the old birth, if you have a new birth, glory to God, you get a brand new start. Say amen. You get a brand new start. One thing you will never do, I never see, is a policeman ready to arrest a newborn child for a crime he's done. Because that newborn child is no yesterday's, he's all tomorrow's. And when you come to Jesus Christ, when you get saved, all of your past, all your yesterdays are buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south. There's a north pole and a south pole, but there's no east pole and west pole. You start east, you just keep on going. You start west, you just keep on going. If you go this way, east is always east. If you go that way, west is always west. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He has buried them behind in the deepest sea. He's cast them behind His back. If God takes my sins and put them behind His back, then He turns around to see them. Where are they? Still behind His back. Friend, I want to tell you that when you become a child of God, you are all tomorrow's. You are no yesterday's. Here's a great scripture for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen to this. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. That's those whose lifestyle is sex outside of marriage. Nor idolaters. That's those who love, worship, fear, or serve anything more than God. Nor adulterers. That's those who do not keep their marriage vows. Nor effeminate. That's those who are practicing sexual perversion, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's black print on white paper. If this is your lifestyle, you need to get saved. But now notice verse 11. And such were some of you. Not are. Were. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Washed means that the stain, the blemish is gone. Sanctified means that you've been set aside clean and holy for God. Justified means that it's as if you were never, ever impure to begin with. If a prostitute, and there may be someone here this morning who's is practicing prostitution. I'm going to tell you, God loves you. God loves you. If a prostitute gets on her knees, a prostitute, and says, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sin, I need you, I want to be saved, and she's born again, she gets up off of her knees an arch virgin. Yes. You may not believe that, but friend, that's such were some of you, not are some of you, were some of you. She is a brand new person. When people understand this, then they begin to write songs like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Some people say, well, I never did that. I'm better than that person. You may be worse if you don't get saved. Amen. Jesus said the publicans and the harlots are going to enter into the kingdom before some of the Sadducees and Pharisees of his day. Now, I'm telling you, in a birth, a commencement occurs. You begin to grow. When you're born again, you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, I've been growing now for a long time, and I'm still growing. I'm not a full-grown Christian. But the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, he who hath begun a good work in you, that's the God who fathered me, will perform it. He is my heavenly Father. A baby must grow. If you give your heart to Jesus today, you're not going to sprout wings and get a halo. If you may be 40, 50, 60 years of age, but spiritually you're going to have to learn how to walk and talk and dress and work and feed yourself. You're going to have to grow. You'll be a brand new baby. Now, there's some people here who are saying, you know, I've got some things in my life, and when I get them all worked out, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus Christ. That's backward. That's like trying to grow up and then get born. No, you get born, you give your heart to Jesus. Yes, you'll stumble. Yes, you're going to have some trouble with your old vocabulary. Yes, there are going to be some hangover things. Yes, you're going to spill the Cheerios. Yes, you're going to make some mistakes. Yes, you're going to fall trying to learn how to walk. But you will be in the family. You start. It is a commencement, and it is a walk. It goes on and on and on as you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me give the last mark. In a birth, a certainty is expected. I mean, a birth is a certain event. Suppose I would ask you about your first birth, and I ask you this question. Have you ever been born? That'd be a dumb question. Did your mother ever have any children? Have you ever been born? Dumb question. Suppose you gave a dumber answer. You were to say, well, I think so. I hope so. I'm doing the best I can. Ask the average person, are you saved? Are you born again? I hope so. I think so. I'm doing the best I can. I would say they have a faulty understanding of what the new birth is. Now, a new birth is a certainty. You ought to be able to say, I know that I have been born again. Will Rogers, no relation to me, but that humorist from Oklahoma, and another time, went to get a passport. When he went to get his passport, they asked him for his birth certificate. He said, well, why do you want my birth certificate? They said, for proof of your birth. He said, well, I'm here, ain't I? Now, let me tell you something. That, my friend, is proof of your birth. That's better than a birth certificate. A birth certificate can be forged. Listen to me very carefully. Some people think that they have to remember the time and the place when they were saved in order to know that they're saved, to have a definite experience. No. If you remember the time and the place, I'm happy for you. But that doesn't make you any more certain of your salvation if you understand the Bible than what I'm about to tell you. I've often used this illustration. I tell our new Christians this. Suppose you and I are going to go to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. I drive and you fly. And you're there at the airport waiting on me when I get there. Now, when I drive the automobile and I cross the state line, it's very obvious. You're now entering the state of Texas. Now, you fly. You don't know when you cross the state line. You're up too high. You just don't know. But you land there in the airport, and it's obviously the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. You get out. Now, which one is the most in the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport? The one who drives the car or the one who flies the airplane? The one who knows exactly when he crossed the state line or the one who doesn't know exactly? Now, listen to me very carefully because this will help you. Don't you let anybody ever tell you, if you can't tell me the time and the place you were saved, you're not saved. There's one thing wrong with that. It is not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. What is the proof that I crossed the state line in an airplane. The proof is I am in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. And if I am, I had to cross the line. Got it? Say, got it. Okay, now listen. What is the proof that you are born again? What is the proof that this man is born again? Not something that happened in the past, but that he now is trusting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. If he is now trusting Christ, I don't care when it happened, how it happened, if he is trusting Christ now, he did somewhere, somehow, right? The Bible never puts the assurance of your salvation in the past. It never says he that believed has everlasting life. It says he that believes. Question, are you now trusting Jesus? If you are, friend, you're in the airport. I don't care whether you came by car or plane. If you're trusting Jesus, you had to trust him sometime, if you're trusting him now. So don't go looking back to some murky experience trying to say, oh, I just don't remember. Mama, tell me, did I do this? Did I do that? No, just ask yourself, am I trusting Jesus Christ? Is he my Lord and Savior? Do I see the traits of the twice born in my heart, in my life? There was a man named George Whitfield. He was a great preacher. He would often preach, you must be born again. They said to him, Mr. Whitfield, why do you always preach you must be born again? Well, he said, that's easy, because you must be born again. Friend, it is none other than Jesus who said, you must be born again. And if you're only born once, you'll die twice. The second death is the lake of fire. But if you're born twice, that which is born from above will go in endless, dateless, timeless, measureless with the Lord. Remember that two parents, the Word of God, I've preached it. The Spirit of God, He is here. Will you supply the womb of faith? Jesus summed up this teaching by saying in verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. That's the womb of faith. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you're already saved, would you begin to pray for those round about you who may not yet be saved? And if you want to be saved, I'm going to lead you in a prayer today. You can believe in Christ. You will be born again. Remember, it's not necessarily an emotional experience. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray this way, oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner by my first birth. And I have a sinful nature by my first birth. I need a second birth. I need a new nature. I need to be born from above. Lord Jesus, you died to save me, and you promised to save me if I would trust you. Thank you for paying for my sin with your blood on the cross. Thank you for making it possible for me to be saved today. I now open my heart. I receive you by faith as my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Save me today. And help me not to be ashamed of you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Well, amen. What these have done here in this beautiful worship center, I trust that many of you are doing, that you have said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sin, and save me. The wonderful truth of the gospel is, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so who you are or where you are, doesn't make all that much difference. It doesn't really make any difference if you'll call on Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, save me. I trust you'll do it. And if you do, write to us and let us know. We'll send you some literature to help you to get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message has been an encouragement to you as we've studied God's Word together. For more resources from Adrian Rogers, including copies or downloads of this message, as well as Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, or a complete transcript of this message, please visit our website, lwf.org. You can also check out the complete series available through our online store. At lwf.org, you can also sign up to receive our new Daily Heartbeat email. Each heartbeat contains a daily scripture and devotional thought from Adrian Rogers, an inspirational 90-second treasure from the Word, as well as a link to our daily radio program, all in one place, delivered directly to your computer or mobile device each morning. And if you would like to learn more about who Jesus is, we hope you'll visit the Discover Jesus link on our homepage. And if you're looking for some inspiration or encouragement to get you through the week, check us out on social media at LWF Ministries. Join us next time as we continue this powerful series of messages from Adrian Rogers. Thanks for joining us for today's program. We'll see you next time.
Love Worth Finding is a viewer-supported ministry, and as a thank you for your gift this month, we want to send you the Walk by Faith booklet collection from Adrian Rogers. Learn what authentic faith really is and enjoy victory in your Christian life. The bundle includes 5 powerful booklets taken from some of Adrian Rogers' most popular messages. The Walk by Faith booklet collection is yours this month for a gift of any amount. Call 1-800-647-9400 or find us online at lwf.org. At our website, you'll see the newest book from Love Worth Finding, Discover Jesus, available through our online store. Who is Jesus? How can I know Him? Learn the answers through the book Discover Jesus at lwf.org.